John, it's in your bulletin for today, and we worship together. Aren't you glad that Jesus is here no matter how many are here? He's always present. We're grateful for that. I want to think about today being a united body of Christ, because that's what we want to be. It's our goal, our desire as the people of God to be united in His service. And we're making some decisions together. We want that to be a united focus. So let me think about some things about be a united body of Christ, what that's all about. So if you found your outline, I encourage you to write in some notes. The first thing that I want us to think about is to make Christ Jesus the basis of our unity. Make Christ Jesus the basis of our unity. When we think about being one in Christ, which this whole scripture sessions I'll be talking about deal with, we can think about what makes us united. Well, I suggest Jesus does. Because if it's because we are a certain denomination that unites us, then we're going to have trouble. If we are united because we happen to like the best football team, we're really in trouble. Or if we're united because we happen to like the same style of music, we're in trouble. There's all kinds of things. Or if we think we all have to have the same translation of the Bible, we're in trouble. But we can all center in on Jesus Christ as the center of our togetherness, of our unity. He's the one who unites us. So let me think about that. So scripture passage is on your notes. The first one says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." He talked about in this passage, we want together with one mind, we want to honor Christ according to Christ Jesus. With one voice, one united effort, we may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what we're about? We're about glorifying Him, the way we conduct His work and the way we minister, the way I live as an individual and as a group of believers. That with one voice, I want to glorify. I want to make God look good, if you will, to the people around me. So that I will glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, He said, because of that, we accept one another as Christ accepted us. Doesn't mean we always agree with one another, but we accept one another. We celebrate the togetherness in Christ. The other verse, second verse on that passage says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no division among you, that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." But notice he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to think together. We are to worship together. We are to find our unity together in Him so that we might be united in mind and thought because of our focus on Him. The other scripture that's on that same section says, "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ," and we know there is, "if there's any consolation of love," and we know there is, "if there's any fellowship of the Spirit," and we know there is, "if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." All those things are true because of our relationship to Jesus. Why do we have those things? Why do we have compassion? Because of Jesus. How can we function together one mind? Because of Jesus. United in spirit because of Jesus. Intent on one purpose. That purpose is Christ. And so we make Jesus the center of our unity. So what I think about, and what you're well aware of, that each of us who are here and who are part of the body of Christ belong to Jesus. How many Saviors are there? Just one. The Lord Jesus Christ. So for each of us, we have come to the same Lord and we've been born again by the same Christ. So therefore we are together because we are one in Jesus. And so we're saying because Christ is the basis of our unity, we are united because we love Him. We want to please Him. We want to worship Him. We set our mind and heart to obey Him, the living Christ. And so I want to make Jesus the basis of our unity. So when I see you, I say I accept you and love you because you belong to Jesus. And I belong to Jesus. We belong to the same Lord, so that unites us around the same Christ. Because when it's all said and done, when we go to heaven, we're all going to center around Jesus. We're all going to be focused on Jesus. We're all going to be worshiping Jesus. So why not do it now? Because He is the focus of our life. And He helps us deal with issues that are different. But we want to be centered in, focused in on Jesus. When I think of that, the unity that God provides is marvelous. I was thinking about this in Acts chapter 2. We find the Holy Spirit coming and the people in that group of believers come to know Christ. Well, they weren't believers then. They came to know Christ as the message of Peter preached. 3,000 people get saved. But when you read the description of what took place in that group of believers in Acts 2, the latter part of the chapter, talks about them feeling a sense of awe. They were together studying the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. They had all things in common. They sold their property. They were meeting together for worship. They were eating together. They were sharing together gladness and sincerity of heart. But I want you to think about with me who those people were that he says were united. Because all this group, 3,000 of them, just got saved. They just come to know Jesus. But what were those people like who are doing this kind of togetherness? Let me go back with you for a minute in Acts chapter 2. And notice something. What about who were present on the day when Holy Spirit came and 3,000 got saved? Let me just read this, and then and starting verse 8 of Acts 2. And now, how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the district of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speak our own tongue, speaking the mighty deeds of God. Now listen, when you look at that list of people, they are different nationalities, different backgrounds, different cultures. I mean, I didn't take time to examine exactly the differences, but that's a huge diverse group of people. But when they met Jesus, when they were saved, if you read what happens in the end of chapter 2, they're together, worshiping, serving, being together because they met Christ. He was the center of what brought them together. And what I'm saying is that's what brings us together too. We're here together because we belong to Jesus and we keep our focus on Him. I found this quote by A.W. Tozer, which was written a long time ago, but let me just read this and think about it. Here's what he said. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become, quote, unity conscious, and turn their eyes away from God and strive for closer fellowship. That's what unites us. We are one in Him. Second thing to think about, I want to show the world Jesus through our unity. Show the world Jesus through our unity. Jesus, in John 17, as He prayed, had this to say about our relationship to Him. Marvelous truth. Let me read this passage. Jesus said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. That's a mouthful. What Jesus said. Now, obviously, are we included in this passage of Scripture? Because he said, I pray not only for those disciples, but for all who are going to believe in me through their word, and that includes us and people today. He prays that there might be one like the Father and the Son are one. That's pretty close. That's pretty united around when you think about the oneness between them. Jesus said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, it's that wonderful relationship with them. But he said, I want them to be one for what purpose? Why does he want us to be united? There are many reasons, but Jesus named one in particular. He said, I'm in them, and you're in me, and we're in them. Do you ever think about all that? Do you ever stop and think about what it's like? What really it's like for God in Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit to live inside you? The Creator of the universe, the Lord who died on the cross, who raised again, ascended to heaven, that Jesus, through His Holy Spirit, comes to live right here. That's awesome. That's awesome. If we think about that, he said that this unity, this oneness between the people of God, he said, I want the glory that you've given me to be with them. But what's the purpose? So that the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity is to show other people, to demonstrate to others who Jesus is. And so we work together as a people of God with a desire to make the world know who Jesus is. He said that twice. He said it again in the latter part of the passage, that we may be perfected in unity so the world may know that you sent me. And what? Love them as much as Jesus talking to the Father, as much as you love Jesus. That's a lot of loving. So, what we're saying is, we want to be united because the world gets to know Jesus by a united group of people. I've thought about it before, and I'm sure you have too. If a church is doing a good job, probably ministering, reaching people, and getting along pretty good, the community as a whole may not always know about it. But if a church gets in a fight, how many people wind up knowing about it? Do you ever notice that? So we want to be united because if we are united, we show the world Jesus. If we're disunited, we're letting the devil cause a negative image for the body of Christ. So we represent, together we represent Jesus. So we want to work together. Now working together doesn't mean we always agree on everything. Right? Many of you are married. Do you always agree with your mate? No. But you're to be what? One as a husband and wife, even though you disagree. You agree to disagree and be agreeable, the saying goes. To love one another in spite of those differences. And so as a body of believers, we're saying, God, help us to agree to disagree and love each other anyway. Because after all, if Jesus gave us what we deserved, where would we be? We'd be in a world of hurt. Because we have not agreed with Him. We've not followed Him. But He still loves us. He still brings us together because of that. So what I'm saying is, we show the world Jesus. By this unity, because the only way we can be together by a group of people is by the blood of Christ and the working of God's Holy Spirit. The only way a couple can really get together as a couple, a married couple, is because of Christ. Because you'll never agree with one another individually unless you have Jesus come in your life. One of the reasons I believe we have so many marriages break up is because they don't start with Jesus in the first place. But when you have Jesus and you're trying to follow Jesus, you can get along. You've seen this before. You got a husband over here and a wife over here. And you know, but you got Jesus up here. And when the husband moves this way and the wife moves this way toward Jesus, what happens to the couple? They come closer together. And that's true for all of us. So we're going to say, in that process, we're saying God did something that we couldn't do by ourselves. It took the Spirit of the Lord to bring us together. So we show the world Jesus through our unity. In fact, Jesus said in another passage of Scripture, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Is not one of the ways we show the light of the world is when we work together as the people of God to accomplish the work of God, the ministry of God in the community, even though we may not always have the same agreement. We demonstrate something that only God can do when we work together. And we ask the Lord to help us do that. I want us to say, people to be able to say about us, as they did about the disciples in Acts 4:13, it says they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, my God, help us that when people see us, they take note. We've been with Jesus. We're behaving like Jesus behaved. So, we show the world Jesus through our unity. On the other side of your notes, be a worthy representative of Christ Jesus. Be a worthy representative, individually and collectively. Be a worthy representative. Now, I'm glad he didn't say you have to be worth it. He's not saying be worth it. Be worthy of it. Live worthy of it. He says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way ashamed by your opponents, no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too is from God. Thus he said, conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. That is, we are to give a good representation of Christ, and we do that when we work together, when we pull together, when we unite together, even though there may be differences of opinion sometimes. We're standing firm in one spirit. That means the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, one mind together, striving for what? The faith of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Is that not one of our main reasons for existing, is sharing Christ with other people? That ought to be one thing that brings us together always. We want to be a worthy representative of Christ because we want other people to know the good news of Jesus. And it says we don't worry about our opponents because God even takes care of those. The other verse says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, worthy of Christ. Again, not because we earn it, but just to show a good picture of Jesus. Because you're well aware, and I've said a lot of times, you have too, the only picture some people have of Jesus is what they see in you. And they judge Jesus by what they see in your life and my life. They also judge Jesus what they see among us as a group of believers together. And we want to give a good picture of Jesus. We want to give a worthy picture of who He is, how wonderful He is, and what He can do in our lives. So He said we want to live worthy of the calling. We do that how? With humility. With humility, recognizing everything I've got is from the Lord, and that I have nothing to boast about. It's all by grace and not by merit. All by grace. We do that with humility, with gentleness. With gentleness. May God help us as we share with one another, be gentle. You've heard the old saying, or I've said it probably more than once. You catch more flies with honey than vinegar any day. You think about that one, don't you? The gentleness. Did you ever notice that if you want to help somebody, if you come to them with a kind, gentle spirit and share with them, most of the time you get a better reception than if you come with demanding or telling them how to do it. Gentleness goes a long way. That works in couples too, by the way. Gentleness. He said that we are to be gentle with one another. Patience. Oh, may God help us to have patience with one another. You need any? You know, in my mind, you know where patience really began sometimes? It was myself and my relationship to Jesus. Because we don't get where we ought to be, or sometimes we don't behave like we ought to, and we get impatient. We need to say, wait a minute, Lord, help me. To me, patience means I believe God's working it out in His way and His time, and I can trust Him to wait on it whenever that comes about. Patience with one another. We need that. Tolerance for one another. Tolerance means to receive, to care for, and to respect one another. Unfortunately, our world has changed the word tolerance. It means, tolerance means you say, you agree with what I'm saying, you say what I'm doing is right, whether it's right or not. That's not what we're talking about. Tolerance means, I understand that you think differently than I do, but we agree to work together and to say, okay, let's serve the Lord together, and we'll understand each other's viewpoints and work with it. We do that in love, which I'll talk more about in a minute. We want to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit always produces unity, right? If I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a unity, a oneness with Christ. Now, when I think about living worthy of the Lord and striving together for the faith of the gospel, I want to suggest that what part of that means that when a group of believers who seek the will of God as best they understand it and make some steps or some decisions about that, does everybody always agree 100% with the decision that a group of believers make? Not always. But can we trust God to speak to His people as a body of believers enough that He will give them understanding what they ought to do as best they understand it? That being so, what I'm suggesting is, if we're to be worthy representative of Christ, it means when a group of believers make a step or a decision that they understand God wants them to make, then the rest of us say, I'll support that even if it wasn't what I wanted. We can do that or we can go home griping, and the devil will have a heyday. As a pastor, if I ever had to accept some decisions I wish were different, more than once. So instead of fussing about it, I say, okay, let's work with it. And so I'm saying if we're to be united as a worthy representative of Jesus, to be in one spirit, that's the way I agree. That's what I accept as a body of Christ. Instead of me going home and talking to my wife or whatever, you know they did that, they shouldn't have done that, that's wrong. I say, okay, that's what the body decided, I'm going to love and support and trust God to work in it. And if it needs to be changed, can God change it? You know, He sure can. And so we trust Him. It's His church, by the way, isn't it? It's not ours, it's His. And He died for it, so I think it's pretty important to Him. The last thing on your notes, practice godly love. Practice godly love. If we're to be united as one people, we practice godly love. Now, godly love, you know, in Scripture, is called the agape love. It's the self-giving love of God in Christ Jesus. We're familiar with that. And so, if we're to be united, we have to practice godly love. Scripture says, so as those who have been chosen of God, is that us? Holy and beloved, yes. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. He talks about those kindness again, humility, those kind of characteristics as a people of God. But he said, put on love, the bond of unity. When I genuinely love other people, by the grace of God, I accept them and we'll work together because I love them. We love each other. Now, we're talking about godly love. We're not talking about this warm, fuzzy feeling sometimes. Can you love somebody that you don't like? Can you love somebody you disagree with? Yeah. But do you do that in your own strength? No, it takes the grace of God. It takes the grace of God. But by His grace, we can, by the power of His Spirit, we can bear with one another. We can forgive one another like we've been forgiven. We put on love as a bond of unity. When I love you, I will deal with you. I will love you. I will accept you. I'm learning. I haven't got this down yet. I'm learning that if I love my wife, it means I love the way she does things. And remember, sometimes we say we love, but we get irritated because she didn't do it like I wanted to do it. That's not being loving. It's being loving when I say, I'd rather you do this way and, you know, Do you ever get irritated? No, never mind. And the Lord's reminding me, if I love her, then I'll know who she is, how she functions. And I work with that. And that's true, I think, of the body of Christ. Because we're different people. We're going to do things differently. But we need to say, okay, I love you, I'll accept you, and we'll work together as a group of believers. Godly love will help us do that. He said in the other verse on that passage, says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, noble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for a very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples if you love one another. You really care about the well-being of one another. That means when I feel like maybe a fellow believer's out of tune, I don't gripe, I don't complain. I get on my knees and say, Lord, this looks like this brother or sister is having trouble, and pray for them. My human nature is to react negatively. My human nature is to go home and criticize. Did you hear what so-and-so said? The way they did it? No. Jesus, I don't think, ever did that. So I need to go home and say, Lord, here's my brother and sister. Seems like something's out of kilter. Would you touch them? Would you bless them? If I can help, help me. Do you think that'll change our attitude? You think it's to be one, united? Because godly love is prevailing in our life. Not our human nature. Not things like that. But I want to be unselfish like Jesus. I want to be giving like Jesus. I want to practice like Jesus. Pray God. And when I do that, there can be unity. So what I'm suggesting to us today is we center on Jesus. Let Him change our attitude. Let Him work, help us work together by godly love and say, I'll receive you and receive one another and receive what God does among the body. Because He's a good God. And He's in charge. And we're going to trust Him for that. Now, to have all these things, to have this kind of relationship, requires Jesus Christ. These principles that are outlined in these scriptures I put on your notes are possible only because of Christ. They are, humanly speaking, you will not do these things. A lost people, a couple who don't know Jesus, cannot practice these things because they require the grace of God, the Spirit of God. So if you don't know Jesus, my prayer is that you give your heart to Christ and say, Jesus, come take over my life. I need you to take over. Forgive me of my sins and my rebellion against you and save me. And then as a believer, say, God, help me put those things into practice by your grace so that we can demonstrate to the world Jesus because of the way we function together as a body of believers. And we show the world one purpose in Christ. May God help us do that. Let's bow together. And as we pray together and say, Lord, what should I do with all this that I've heard? It doesn't matter what I think, but it does matter what He thinks. So today, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I pray you right now, you'd tell Him, Lord Jesus, I want to live this kind of life. I want to know the joy of that kind of relationship. And I'm asking you to come and live in my heart. Save me. Forgive me. And He will. Or as a believer in Christ, to say, God, there's some places in my life that I need an attitude change. Would you change them? The Spirit of the Lord will show you, each of us, things that need to be. And we just trust Him to help us say, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, I will function that way by your grace. I will be united. I will do the steps necessary. That we together as a body of Christ may show the world that Jesus loves them because of what He does through us. Lord, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for talking to all of us. Now we ask that we will make wise choices about what the Word of God has revealed to us. And we'll say yes to You. Have Your way in this service and in the life of this body of believers as we serve together in this community. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.